This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Milky Monday.
Betty Berning, contributing dairy economist with High Ground Dairy in Chicago. Betty, U.S. dairy exports were hurting again in September. How bad was it?
It was not good, Lee. So total U.S. dairy exports dropped. They totaled 208,652 metric tons, and that's the smallest total since February 2023 and the smallest value for September since 2020. If we break things out, all year long we've been talking up Mexico. They're the savior of U.S. exports this year. They're buying record volumes. They're up year over year. In September, exports to Mexico dropped, and that is very concerning.
Tuesday.
What are the things that individually and in conjunction with each other drive your pay price? And, you know, we start with the CME spot market. You know, it drives your pay price. And so blocks, barrels, whey, non-fat, those feed into futures prices. We've got a whole suite of six futures contracts that one way or another do at least relate back to your pay prices. Then we've got NAS, which is the USDA National Ag Statistics Service, who's running out into the marketplace and doing surveys and accumulating data on these prices. And now I'm listening to everybody from every industry group talk about make allowances, and the processors say they're going broke, and the producer says we still need to get paid, and we're going to go to the government. Maybe it changes in 2026, 25. I don't know what's going on there. So somehow we have to filter through this. And there's a lot of different prices out there. There's class prices, producer price differential, statistical uniform price, your pay price. You know, people can look at it from different ways. I think when we think about building up to that story of, well, what is your pay price? What are you actually getting that drives the dollars from your milk check into your bank account? And it really, for your pool, starts with the statistical uniform price. And that is going out and valuing all the dairy products, not the milk, the products that are produced from the milk that are all produced in your pool, and then subtracting out the cost to manufacture those, which is effectively the make allowance. That's kind of the gold standard price where you're really beginning down the road to your pay price.
Wednesday.
I serve on the board of directors nationally for Dairy Management Incorporated, representing the dairy farmers.
That really sounds like a time commitment on your part.
Oh, yeah. You know, I never have a problem with the family covering for me at home. They know I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm very passionate about promotion. So, yes, I rather enjoy being a leader in this industry, representing the checkoff money that all farmers pay into. But, you know, the better part of that is, John, not only is it farmer-funded, it's farmer-directed.
Thursday.
Let's explain what the EATS Act is and why NDPO opposes this.
It took me a couple weeks to really grasp what this is actually talking about, because the first two times that the EATS Act was defeated was because it violated states' rights. Now the proponents are coming out and saying, hey, we're protecting states' rights. It's very confusing. The EATS Act, it's Ending Agricultural Trade Suppression, with the subtitle, A Bill to Prevent States and Local Jurisdictions from Interfering with the Production and Distribution of Agricultural Products in Interstate Commerce and for Other Purposes. The House Bill 4417 was introduced by Congresswoman Ashley Hinson of Iowa, and the Senate Bill 2019 was introduced by Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas. The third attempt to include this legislation in the Farm Bill, the National Dairy Producers Organization, along with Organization for Competitive Markets and the Competitive Markets Action, is working to defeat the EATS Act.
Friday.
Behavior aspects in transition cows. This was presented by Dr. Proudfoot, located at the Atlantic Veterinary College at Prince Edward Island in Canada. And a lot of interest in research on transition cows over the last 30 to 40 years, focusing on health, metabolic disorders, profitability, milk yield, those kind of things. But Dr. Proudfoot decided to look at behavioral responses in cows. And she looked at three different aspects of each of these areas. One was the framework of the study on animal welfare. Number two, what the advancements in understanding occurred in these transition cows in terms of welfare. And then finally, what are some of the gaps? We need new research to answer some questions.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.